I sort of think that when I was a child, or even a young person, I knew exactly what truth was. Just these days, I'm not quite as sure that the people we live around have an idea what truth is. We've moved to a relativistic society. We have the idea that truth is relative. Your truth is different to my truth, and it's just as valid, which everybody knows is a load of codswallop. But it's difficult communicating this in a world where we are all allowed to have our own truth. Pilate was a Roman governor brought up to serve the multiple gods of Rome, the pantheon of Rome, which of course included Caesar. And he was put in charge of a nation that worshipped Yahweh. In that time and in that place, kings were puppets that served the will of Caesar. And Pilate had to deal with many men who wanted to be king. Jesus wasn't the first person in that generation that they tried to make king. Pilate had a very liberal view of what truth was. And he was prepared to have Jesus crucified to keep the peace among the Jews of that time. We live in a day of even greater confusion. Here are just a few broad generalities as I see them. We live in a day when we are confused about relationships because sex has been commoditized and faithfulness is no longer seen as a virtue. We are confused about moral standards because there is no agreement about what they are. We are confused about right and wrong because we are taught to see the truth from both perspectives. And even the perpetrators are often raised up as victims. We are confused about sexuality because anything goes if it pleases someone. We are confused about gender because of the early sexualization of children and the pressure put on them by online pornography and social networks. We are confused about our leaders because we see their failings and they seem to get away with it. We are confused about the value of life because we see the unborn as disposable and the elderly as non-contributors to society. We are confused about the value of stuff because it's all disposable and subject to passing trends. We are confused about the value of money because the media is obsessed with celebrity and continually suggest to us that we have the chance to be rich. And there's a load more. You know, I could go on that list. So why shouldn't we today join Pilate with his exclamation, say, what is truth? And the reason that we shouldn't do that is because Pilate had the option in front of him that we also have. Jesus, the truth. Jesus of Nazareth is the truth. So, my next point is real truth gives you freedom. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me just say that there are books written about how the word truth is interpreted in the New Testament. Jesus is sometimes referred to as the Word of God because he is the Logos that proceeded from God, the Word, the Logos. Jesus is the Word of God. But we also talk about our Bibles as the Word of God. And sometimes we could almost be saying that Jesus is a living Bible. And there's a way in which that might even be true. But we can sometimes get a little bit mixed up with what Jesus means, what the word is, and what the truth is, and what truth it is that is setting us free. Let me tell you what Jesus is definitely saying in this passage. In the writings of the rabbis and in the Torah that Jesus grew up with, the Torah, the first five books of Moses, we have record of those books that Jesus would have read, that the disciples would have been familiar with, they would have been taught in the synagogues, and we know that for the rabbis, they taught that the Torah would set you free. So Jesus is not using language here that is unknown. But what he is saying is, if you know the truth will set you free from what? From the cares of this age, the cares of this present age. I meet people in the course of my work who are really badly confused, who are messed up. They're almost at the point of going crazy. I meet some people who are suicidal about what they have heard and what they believe the truth is. But we need to understand that the truth that Jesus wants us to inherit, the truth that Jesus wants us to know, is truth that sets us free from the cares of this present age. Jesus is not trying literally to set us free from chains. He's trying to set us free from a mindset and from a dominant way of thinking that is part of our society and social setup that makes everything painful. Yesterday, a tweet came up on my phone and it said, "Life is so bad, so, so bad." And I thought, grief, who's this from? Looked who it was from, looked whatever else they were tweeting. And I thought to myself, how sad that this particular person, who has got everything to live for, all of a sudden is saying, everything is so bad. But if only that person would reach out to Jesus, what I'm saying to you is Jesus will give them the truth that will set them free. The cares, the burdens, the pain of living in this world, Jesus comes to set us free from that. John 1 verse 17 says, although the law was given through Moses, the Torah, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. This is really the same theme as we've just alluded to. What Jesus is saying is that there are lots of truths out there, but if you follow my truth, then you will receive grace and truth in your life. This will be what you need. This is what will set you free. Even the Torah itself, and Jesus honored the Torah, Jesus quoted from the books of the Torah, Jesus was not against the Torah. Jesus didn't come to tear it up. He came to fulfill it. But what we need to understand is that only Jesus that can set us free. And Jesus is talking about this subject when he's chained up in front of the Roman governor who's asking him what is truth. This is the answer. Jesus did not come to be a tangible king of Israel. He came to deliver us from the untruths that dominate our thinking and our lives. All over this world, there have been societies and even nations that have based their values on the words of Jesus and of our God. Despite propaganda to the contrary, the Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow worldwide. And since the late 1980s, It has even consistently grown in the UK, mainly through the Pentecostal and New Church movements. Unfortunately, instead of taking hold of the words that set us free, we have thinking that is dominated by social media, by TV channels, as well as our own lusts. Now, I'm just going to offer one story to you, which I am just as guilty of. So I'm not saying stop this. I'm just pointing out this is something I do as well. The other night, in our living room, I had just been out to the smallest room in the house, walked back in, and everybody in the room is sat on their phones. I don't mean sat with a phone under the bottom. I mean, they are sat using their phone. So I sat down and picked up my phone. And we all sat there, bipping away. And one person in the room said, "I've just got to stop listening to the news on my phone because it's rubbish." And you know what? That roused us, so we put our phones down. But what I'm saying is we are so connected to what people are pushing to us. You know, when I grew up, when you pushed something to somebody, you were trying to sell them drugs, drug pushers. These days, we get push alerts on our phones. Data is pushed to us. We get stuff pushed in our face. And when we have all this stuff pushed in our face, we are having to fight with other people's truth. Imagine how much better our world would be if we built our lives on Jesus' words. Well, imagination is one thing, but real change takes place one person at a time. And it is up to us to embrace not our truth, not assorted truths, but the truth. And the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus of Nazareth, and we need to embrace the truth. God has always told us that his name was the truth. And you say, well, I don't remember that happening in the Old Testament. Do you know what? It was one of the first things that God said to Moses. He said, this is Exodus chapter 34, "The Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, 'Yahweh! Yahweh is compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, rich in faithful love and truth.'" That was the God of the Old Testament. That's Yahweh. Jesus, the God of the New Testament, he's still Yahweh. He's still full of truth. He is still the truth. And he will not leave the guilty unpunished. He'll bring the consequences of the father's sins to the children and the grandchildren, to the third generation. The answer. Jesus is the answer. A song we've often sung in this church. Jesus said, John chapter 8, 31, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's Jesus saying today? He's saying, be a disciple, be a follower, be a convert. We can make our gospel too soft and woolly, but the gospel calls for change. It doesn't call for you to come and have a nice time with us and Jesus. Come, let's all be friends. Let's be nice to each other. Nice. Our gospel calls us to embrace the truth. Our gospel calls us to follow Jesus and to call him what he is, which is Lord. And when we call him Lord, we owe him a greater debt than Pilate owed Caesar. Pilate called Caesar Lord. And that's why in the first century, Christianity was illegal, because it was illegal to call anybody other than Caesar Lord. And when Christians called Jesus his Lord, that was a capital offence. That is why in Rome the soldiers would hang around to the exits of the catacombs, so that when the Christians were taking people down underground to baptise them, that when they came up, they would stand outside and cut their heads off, or take them somewhere and crucify them. That was the honour you got for baptism in those days. And we sometimes think it's a bit much to get all wet and have to change clothes at church and bring our own towels. Do you know what? We don't even know we're born. This is a commitment, a lifelong commitment that Jesus calls us to. And he calls us to the truth. Not a questionable truth, not a debatable truth, but a real, living, resurrected truth that died on the cross for us and now ever lives to intercede for us. This is the truth that we are called to embrace. We are called to recognize him as Lord. We are called to follow him. And this is the Jesus that we must engage with. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Can you remember the words? He turns my life around. He leads, he makes a way where there is no way. We'll sing it again at the end, don't worry. Jesus will turn our life around. That might be a bit much for some people, but let me tell you, it's what's necessary. If you want baptizing, come and tell me, because we're going to do it quickly. We've got our own tub, and I don't mean one with a plug in the bottom. We can do you properly. Take you in the baptistry, hold you down for 3.5 minutes. No, I got that wrong. It's 3.5 seconds, isn't it? What we do is we do this because Jesus told us to. But do you know what? When you go down in that water for baptism, that is a sign that you are being buried with Christ. And when we pull you up out of the water, it's a sign that you are being raised with Christ. That's what baptism's all about. And I would suggest to you that it's a good thing to do, because it demonstrates to all who are there that you are now saying, Jesus is Lord. He is the truth, and I will follow him. Embrace the truth. Worship the truth. Tell the truth. That's a good advice, by the way. Tell the truth. It's good. It helps. Let the truth flow through your veins. Allow truth to sanctify you. Make you different. You are different if you tell the truth. You must know that, surely. Everybody around us lies. Lying is an art form. Even governments lie to us. I don't know quite how it works, but once you're elected to the House of Commons, you become a liar. It's bizarre.
There is a song, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, would I lie to you, baby?
Oh, right, okay. Well, I'm doing my best not to lie to you about this. But we've got to realise that people around us are expert liars. We need to show that we can be different. When you pick up that £10 note on the shop floor, it's amazing the impact it has on a member of staff when you take it and say, I've just found this. People look at you like you've gone out. They really do. But that's the truth. It wasn't yours. Somebody has lost it. We need to learn to tell the truth. John 4, verse 23. An hour is coming, Jesus said, and is now here. Now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Lord Jesus, I tell the truth in honour of the truth. You know what? I know sometimes there are some things which there are huge repercussions for saying. And there are some things that maybe you aren't the person to say. Sometimes it isn't your responsibility to cause an uproar by telling that truth. But there are things which it's best that we tell the truth. And all I would say to you is remember that Jesus always told the truth. And he told the truth to people like Pilate, who had the power to kill him. Although Jesus said you wouldn't have that power unless it was given to you. Telling the truth sets us free. And I think we need to recognize Jesus is our truth. So today, let's not be all wishy-washy about other people's truth and engage with people on their level of truth. But let's just be honest with them about the truth as we know him. Remember, the truth is not a set of facts. The truth is a person. And the truth will set you free. Will you pray with me? Today, just want to encourage you. We have access to the truth. What we believe and are taught from Scripture is not a truth that's applicable to us. It's applicable to the whole world. And our world needs to know that truth. So, Father, we call out to you and we say, would you allow us the honour of sharing your truth with somebody this week? Would you help us to tell people about our Lord Jesus and how his truth has set us free? Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Father, so much for the truth that sets us free. Father, we pray that we might all be able to speak the honest truth in our dealings with people around us. We know, Lord, sometimes blurting it all out in one go is not always helpful. But Lord, we do know that there are opportunities that we have. And we ask you to help us to take those opportunities appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.